Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be talking today about the importance of the expanded QA that we did to ensure the proper recall of children for the multiple school-based H1N1 vaccination clinics that were held in Riverside County. And a little brief outline of the talk today is I will be covering the mass vaccination campaign background, a little bit about the principles of planning for our second dose clinics, and the care account setup so that we can ensure that we had correct QA, the initial data quality issues and solutions, the results of our early QA test, and then why we went into some expanded QA and the results of that, as well as lessons learned. So basically, our mass vaccination campaign was a collaboration between our immunization program and our public health emergency preparedness and response, or what we call PEPR branch. And as part of this campaign, we did not have, of course, enough staff between the two branches to do the campaign. So temporary staff was hired to staff the mass vaccination clinics and also to perform the immunization registry data entry. The clinic teams were trained, as far as care goes, they were trained on the screening process and the data completeness of the collection forms we were using, and the data entry staff were trained to use the CARE software. And one comment I would make about the clinic training, one of the issues is they really need to check, and we've made some changes to our form because one of the things they really need to check is, are people printing? We had a lot of legibility issues with the number of forms that we had. The initial focus of the campaign, just like everyone else, was the high-risk population. So because of that, we were partnering with our school and child care agencies to provide H1N1 vaccination on-site. And 20 of the 23 school districts that we have in Riverside County did participate. That was about 67 schools that were participating. Those three that did not participate, because of the timing of our vaccine arrival, they opted to have their children participate in a mass vaccination clinic that was sponsored in their area of the county by Maxim. And some of them also just chose to have their students go to their own private providers. The other thing I would say is of our school districts, there are different sizes of schools. So the school districts would have anywhere from one school that all their students would go to up to seven schools where we were doing the vaccine. We had 15 private schools and 40 child care providers that participated, and we were focusing on the large child care providers. We wanted to get, again, have economy of scale and get the biggest bang for our buck. The second dose clinics were held by 70% of the school districts, 25% of the private schools, and 90% of our child care providers. As part of the planning process for our second dose clinic, both the school partners and the mass vaccination campaign staff needed to know how many children were returning. They needed to know this for planning purposes, for staffing, for supplies, for knowing what space to utilize. It was not unusual for the space location at schools to change just because of so many more children were getting the first dose than were actually required the second dose. They also wanted to know which children were in need of the second dose. And what this required from us was not only in the registry, we do have our print list that for reminder recall that will say, here's your list of children. They wanted more than that because they were combining schools. We actually had to break down, instead of sending the print list, which would have been an easy thing, it was very labor intensive, we had to break all and sort all of those children alphabetically by school and provide them with a list of children. And then where are the children getting their second dose? This is important more so for the registry staff because for our reminder recall, we need to know, are they going to a family care center? Are they going to the school? Where, you know, is it the same school? Is it a different school for the second dose clinic? So we could insert a specific message on their reminder card. And then the other thing is, how are the children being notified? The children were actually notified two ways. They were both notified by reminder recall from the registry, as well as the school had their own notification process. And then our big thing was, how can we ensure that all the children are being recalled? And this is where our QA stepped in. We made the decision early on, even before we needed to do it, we wanted to test the reminder recall on one of our first large-scale school-based clinics. Now, in order to make sure we're getting the correct information out, we had to make sure that we set our provider account up in a way that was going to allow us to get the information. So we created a specific provider ID for the H1N1 campaign that would keep our data separate from other public health data. And then we had six teams that were going out, that there could be a maximum of six teams in any given day. So we had to also distinguish from among those six possible teams to ensure the children were properly being recalled for the second dose. And since all the teams pulled for a central inventory, we used a single provider code, but we added an operation code for each of the teams. So it was H1N1 team 1 through H1N1 team 6. We tried keeping it simple in that respect, and we used that operation code along with the data serviced to ID specific clinics. Now, some of the initial data quality issues we came across. Our goal for the data entry staff, even though we had until really the close of business Monday, we had our goal to have all records entered for the week by the close of business Friday so that we would stay on track, because we did have some Saturday clinics. Our problem is with that, in our registry, the date the immunizations are given defaults to today's date. And when staff work quickly, they may forget to change the date. I know, because I did it myself several times. And so what we ended, I'll tell you in a minute what we ended up doing with that, but also our temporary staff received some just-in-time training. They were getting a lot of information in a short period of time, and so when they would perform incorrect patient search procedures, that would create duplicates, and they also would cause additional problems if they did not follow all the data entry procedures correctly. So some of our initial QA solutions, the first thing we did, which would take care of the issue with not entering the doses on the correct day, is we ran a daily activity report, and we did it twice. We ran it once for the date of entry and once for the date of service. And the report on the screen, the report on that you actually see the full report, that's the one that would be the equivalent of what you'd want to see on a date of entry. You do not want to see, unless you're entering for that specific day, you do not want to see any patients on that report. The other one, I have it covered up because it's an actual live report, so I'm covering up patient names. That particular one is where we would want to see the vaccine administered with the patient information. And then the temporary staff records were also manually reviewed by experienced staff to determine what kind of errors are made. For the patient search procedures, anytime we saw this is a new care ID number, we would repeat our patient search procedures, and if we found duplicates, we would review the search procedures with that particular staff. There was one particular staff member that we had to do this with quite a lot. And if we had added or updated addresses, we had to make sure, was it marked as the main address so that it would pull to the main demographic screen. We also were checking to see if they had marked the patient address as active. Because of our migration, initially we did not have any of those children marked as active, and we ended up, because we had so many of these, we ended up speaking with the state to run a script to just go ahead and mark patients active for us. And then the initial, the other thing we did was we spot checked the new vaccination search screen, and the arrow points to where we would put the operation code. We want to make sure, did they fill in that operation code, because it is not a required field. And then sometimes when they were messing up and entering the incorrect code. So if we had errors that were confined to one or two staff members, we provided retraining. If, however, errors were made by multiple staff, we not only looked at training, but we looked to see if we need to make any procedural changes. And we also initiated daily team briefings to ensure that both my care staff and the temporary data entry staff were kept informed and updated on any kind of problems and changes that needed to be made. So we were testing out just this initial QA that we started doing, and that large-scale clinic that I had spoken of earlier was one where almost 1,200 doses of H1N1 was given. We ran the reminder recall print list, which is just the list of the patients that were due. We did it well in advance of the actual date needed to mail postcards, so if there was any problems, we'd have time to correct it. And we had thought initially this was going to be used as a way to notify school which children needed the second dose, but we had some schools that said, no, we want to know by school, and that's where we had to go into the labor-intensive version. And according to our daily activity reports, when we did a review of those, just looking at the date of birth to see which children were under 10 years of age that would need to come back, we had almost 750 children that were identified as needing a second dose of H1N1. But our first reminder recall list only identified 18, so there was obviously a problem. We're looking at maybe 64% of the children immunized versus 2%. So we decided we need to do some additional QA. So with our expanded QA, we did a combination of manual review of all records and a review of the care reports. We continued with our initial QA steps, but we added more QA. The records from each clinic were sorted numerically by age group to make it easier to compare to the daily activity report, which prints numerically, and we sorted it into the 9 years and younger and 10 and older, so we knew again how many were coming back for the second dose. Both groups were counted to ensure that no record was missed, so we had to we knew how many records we had entered from some of our other reports, and so we were able to look at, does this number add up to the total number entered? We also looked at the names and the total number on the DAR, make sure that we didn't miss anyone, so we were able to identify if we did miss data entry on someone, which is easy to do if you are in the middle of data entry and you get interrupted, and you think, okay, now where was I? And then the total for our 9 years and younger was compared to the total number of children on the reminder recall print list to make sure everyone was captured. Any patient records that were not on the daily activity report were noted on a separate log. We reviewed each record in care to make sure that the vaccination date was correct, and then the operation code and administer by fields on the shot record were correct. And then we also had a preference screen that we needed to make sure, which we found out later, the operation code needed to be on that screen as well, because that is where it was driving the reminder recall. And that was one of our issues that we found out as we expanded our QA. And the reminder recall preferences was sent to yes. We ran another reminder recall list, and this time the number of children due for the second dose increased from 18 to 328, which was great, but it wasn't quite there. We still needed about 750. And so when we did further analysis, it revealed a rather simple solution. We were entering a single date range on our reminder recall report that only captured those children whose second dose was due in 4 weeks. And with our algorithms, the children, depending on the kind of vaccine they would receive, would need to come back anywhere between a 3 to 4 week range. When we changed that, we did get the expected number of children on the reminder recall list. So our lessons learned was start the QA process early and think outside of the box when it comes to QA. It's especially critical when you're dealing with new staff or with new procedures. Look for ways to QA any data field that may affect your results. And make changes as needed to increase the integrity of your data. This was one of the things that we did early and we did often. So change procedures, change QA processes, and if necessary, and I did this, change staff. I had to let some go and bring more on. Don't be afraid to change your course and challenge your initial assumptions. And this leads into this lessons learned of simple is not always best. By using our 6 generic H1N1 team, those operation codes led to errors recalling children to the wrong clinics because of the overlapping date range. We ran a reminder recall for one region, and we had children, parents calling saying, my reminder postcard is telling me to go to this location, but we don't live in that city. And that's where we discovered the problem with the date ranges in our generic team code. So we had to look at something more specific, which we implemented about halfway through. And just as I said, the lack of consistency lets children be reassigned to, I'm not feeling well this morning, so I'm not quite all here. The lack of consistency in using that same team name also could lead to some false reporting as children were reassigned to the new opcode when they came back for their second dose. And halfway through the campaign, we switched from using the team-specific operation code to more of a clinic-specific based on the school name, or in some other cases, childcare name. Also, don't overlook the obvious. When you know your fields are correct and you don't get the specific data you want, look for an obvious solution. And for our case, the reminder recall, our staff was focusing so much on looking for problems in the data that we entered that we didn't notice on our reports that, oh, only one type of vaccine is showing up. We're only getting, you know, the live attenuated virus vaccine instead of the inactivated virus vaccine. And for my acknowledgments, I would like to thank Tanya Geiger, our Assistant Director in Disease Control, for her contributions to this, and our Public Health Emergency Preparedness and Response Branch, our H1N1 mass vaccination clinic teams and data entry staff, without whom this would not have been possible, and of course, my wonderful Carolyn Empire staff in Riverside County, who have just bent over backwards doing double duty during this H1N1 campaign. And my contact information. Thank you very much.